Come, let us dream God's dream again. Come, one and all, let us ascend the mountain top where those of old saw God's new day. On earth unfold the lame shall walk, the blind shall see, the doors swing wide, all prisoners free, the lowly raised, the proud brought low. This is God's dream. Let justice flow. When hatred ends and war shall cease, so all may dwell in deepest peace. Then be assured, the time is near when perfect love casts out all fear. Prophets are scorned in their own lands, and martyrs slain by righteous hands. Though dreamers die, the dream will live, for we have yet our lives to give. For we have yet our lives to give.
When I was 8 years of age, my parents left the inner city of Pittsburgh and moved their six children to a small 10-acre farm on the outskirts of the city. The man who sold us the small farm was getting back at his white neighbors who he did not like, so he sold it to an African-American family. Every morning as I walked down the lane to catch the school bus, the lady of the house, the neighbor, would raise up her window and begin yelling at me and my brothers and sisters. My parents told me to say the 23rd Psalm as I walked by that house. The most comforting line of that psalm was, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I recited that psalm repeatedly every day, and after a while, I did not hear this lady. We were taught to respect her. My parents told me that this lady was a victim of her own life experience. Her behavior was really not about me. It had everything to do with her and how she was raised. A very important lesson toward learning about peace was emphasized here. The lesson was, show respect to others. We are really one people. She was misguided. I know that I hadn't done anything. It was my presence, the superficial color of my skin, which is what she took issue with. We know that of the approximately 36,000 genes in our bodies, only six of them relate to the extent of melanin in the skin. The rest are genetically identical. The second lesson was, don't retaliate. My parents did not retaliate. They did not approach this lady with anger. They never called the authorities. They quietly lived with integrity. Whatever stereotypes that they had learned about us as African Americans, we had nothing to do with creating those stereotypes. Our task was to be true to our beliefs and to live them out. And so we did that. Loving the enemy was the focus. The third lesson I learned from my parents was the importance of bonding or relating to others at the emotional level and finding in some way some kind of common ground. My mother began raising money for several charities, and she would go to the houses in the neighborhood, and she would regularly stop at that house and have a few words with the lady, and the lady would always make a contribution. And at no time did my mother confront the woman about how she had been treating us. When I saw the man in the yard cutting the grass, I would often wave to him, and eventually he began waving back. The screaming ultimately stopped, and we could walk to the bus in peace. Some type of connection had been made between this woman and my mother. Those short visits where human contact was made a difference. It took 7 years until parts of that family joined us at our dinner table. Eventually, that woman would come down, spend part of an afternoon with my mother over a cup of tea. As one person so aptly stated, every enemy, when met face to face, turns out to be a human being. The legendary singer and peace activist, Pete Seeger, wrote a handwritten message to me about a year before he died. He said, "I urge you, stay well, keep involved, don't give up. The agricultural revolution took thousands of years. The industrial revolution took hundreds of years. The information revolution is taking only decades. If we use it and use the brains God gave us, who knows what miracles may take place? Some of them already have."
I am a small part of the world. I have a small hand which to hold. But if I stand by your side and you put your hand in mine, together we can be so strong and bold. I am a small part of the world. I have a small dream in my eyes. But if I tell you my dreams and you add your dreams to mine, together we can reach up to the skies. Hand in hand, dreams combine, voice with voice, together for all time. Hand in hand, dreams combine, voice with voice, for all time. I am a small part of the world. I have a small voice ringing clear. But if I sing out for justice and you add your voice to mine, together we have nothing left to fear. Hand in hand, dreams combine, voice with a voice, together for all time. Hand in hand, dreams combine, voice with voice, for all time. I am a small part of the world. Take my hand.
I recently spent a couple-week visit in Thailand. And while I was there in Thailand, President Joseph Monacom, who was there with me, took me to the border of Burma and Thailand. And there we stayed in a refugee camp for a few days. The Burma refugees had been driven out of the country by the military and pushed across the border to Thailand. The Thai government is providing a space for them to live, but will not integrate them into their country. When I asked them to sing for me, they sang a beautiful song. It was about the children of Israel who were being chased by Pharaoh's army. They sang about feeling trapped between the army and the sea with no place to go. Their prayer is that the waters will part and that they could return home. They've been trapped there for 30 years in what is temporary housing. It was truly a visit to the margins, and in the telling of our respective stories, we found a kindredness, a connection that will last for the rest of my life. I stand in solidarity with them, my Burmese or Myanmar brothers and sisters, and live in the hope that the waters will part and that they will be able to go home. In the summer of 2006, on my way back from a month-long tour in Eastern Europe, I stopped for a few weeks in Uganda, East Africa, and Ken Rogers also met me in Uganda, and we experienced a very rich and in some ways troubling place. There had been a 19-year-long war fought between the government of Uganda and the Lord's Resistance Army. While there, I had the chance to understand the problems more fully, and I was invited there by an organization called Friends of Orphans. Their aim is to work with the formerly abducted youth who had been converted into child soldiers or sex slaves, but who had somehow escaped. Friends of Orphans helps provide vocational training, counseling, and other forms of assistance to this vulnerable population of people. One of the highlights was getting to know the director of Friends of Orphans, whose name is Ricky Richard. He happens to be at this moment visiting the United States and is in Maine. Unfortunately, I was on the West Coast. He wanted to see me, but we just couldn't make that happen. They wanted me to come to inspire hope and to speak out for peace. They also wanted me to tell the story about the troubles in the region when I came back to the United States. Music was a wonderful way to connect there in the city of Kitgum. We had the honor of singing before 10,000 people and to witness the many who sang and danced in their traditional styles for us. It was amazing to witness their ability to celebrate together, even in the midst of war, and to live in hope. It was such a festive and wonderful moment for us. Ricky Richard himself was a child soldier who had been abducted twice. He recounted how he was first abducted, and while telling the story, he could not hold back the tears. He recalls playing in the yard in front of his house with the other children. When the Lord's Resistance Army approached, They tied the children by their wrists and made a long line like a chain. The adults watched as they were being held at gunpoint. But before taking the children, the Lord's Resistance Army burned the adults, including his parents. They just doused some kerosene on them and lit a match. He took me to his childhood home where this all happened, which is now sitting empty. He lives in the hope that he will return there and that he will be able to live there. I was very impressed with Ricky Richard because he doesn't need to be working with the formerly abducted. He doesn't need to be putting himself in any kinds of harm's way, but he has a passion for helping, assisting those who have been formerly abducted. He could be down in Kampala making a decent living, but he has a passion and a commitment to helping child soldiers integrate back into their villages. This young man inspired me far more than I could have ever inspired him on that visit. He recently wrote me to tell me that there is a book out about his life and about his work. It's called Soldier Boy, and it can be purchased on Amazon. In 2007, I made my third visit to Northern Ireland to assist in the long-standing conflict between the Protestants and Catholics. It was a thrilling experience when Irish folk singer Tommy Sands and I met with the leaders, the families of the two major paramilitary groups, the Ulster Defense Association and the Irish Republican Army. They had been involved in the killing of each other for over 40 years, and it was a miracle that the people on the ground were able to get them in the same room at the same time. And music speaks a universal language of the heart, and it makes a soulful connection in ways I believe that nothing else can. It was interesting to witness a softening of the tension in the room as Tommy and I engaged them in storytelling and in singing. I was struck when watching these hardened leaders as they were moved by the music. By the end of the evening, one of the leaders stood to speak and could not hold back the tears. There was an overflowing of emotion from these hardened men. They had had an experience of the heart, and in that moment, they were one. This was the very first meeting ever of its kind in that country. They continue to meet each month. There is a song called Swimming to the Other Side, and the refrain is on the screen, is it? Yeah. And I'm going to sing it through once and then invite you to join me on the refrain throughout.
We are living neath the Great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side.
Let's try that.
We are living neath a great big dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. I am alone and I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. I am balanced at the brink of wisdom. I'm impatient to receive a sign. I move forward with my senses open. Imperfection, it be my crime. In humility, I will listen. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath a great big dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. On this journey through thoughts and feelings, binding intuition, my head, my heart, I am gathering the tools together. I'm preparing to do my part. All of those who have come before me, band together and be my guide. Loving lessons that I will follow, we're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath a great big dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side.
This story is taken from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. A body was established there after the end of apartheid to expose the violence done and to give the victims and perpetrators a chance to be heard. The commission brought an elderly black woman face to face with the black man, Mr. Vandenbroek, who had confessed to the savage torture and murder of her son and her husband a few years earlier. The old woman had been made to witness her husband's death. The last words her husband spoke was, "Father, forgive them." One of the members of the commission turned to her and asked, "How do you believe justice should be done to this man who has inflicted such suffering on you and so brutally destroyed your family?" The old woman replied, "I want three things. I want first to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so that I could gather the dust and give him a decent burial." She stopped and collected herself and went on, "My husband and son were my only family. I want, secondly, then, for Mr. Vandenbroek to become my son. I would like him to visit twice a month in the ghetto where I live and spend a day with me so that I can pour out whatever love I still have remaining with me. Finally, I want a third thing. I would like Mr. Vandenbroek to know that I offer him my forgiveness because Jesus Christ came to forgive. This was also the wish of my husband, and so I would kindly ask someone to come to my side, lead me across the courtroom, so that I can take Mr. Vandenbroek in my arms, embrace him, and let him know that he is truly forgiven." The assistants came to help this old woman across the room, and Mr. Vandenbroek, overwhelmed by what he had just heard, fainted. And as he did, those in the courtroom, friends, family, neighbors, all victims of decades of oppression and injustice, began to sing Amazing Grace. I learned from a friend who was in the room when this story unfolded that Mr. Vandenbroek is taking care of the old woman. They have become family. They live together. Never underestimate the power of love and forgiveness. I want to do this one.
I once heard a powerful story about a man who stood in his truth. Such conviction in who he was, he would not be moved. Someone stepped out from the crowd and said, "Are you Martin Luther King?" He said, "Yes, I am, and a well-dressed man." Spit on him. Then the king took out his handkerchief and wiped the hate from his suit. Gave it back to the man and said, "I believe this belongs to you. I will lift you up and do what I can do. I see your heart, I feel your pain. I have been there too. I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. I am clear who is standing here. I believe this belongs to you." I once had a powerful story I used to carry around. I thought it was you all this time that held my spirit down. But now I know the truth of who I came here to be. You are my angel in disguise, not my enemy. So I thank you for the part you played in this dance we had to do. I give you back your own true love. I believe it belongs to you. I will lift you up and do what I can do. I see your heart, I know your pain. I have been there too. I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. I give you back your freedom now. I believe it belongs to you. I will lift you up and do what I can do. I see your heart, I know your pain. I have been there too. I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. I give you back your own true love. I believe it belongs to you. I am clear. As we're standing here, I believe this belongs to you.
Vincent Harding, speechwriter for Martin Luther King way back when, and also a Mennonite, gave me this song to the tune of Jacob's Ladder, but these are his lyrics. We are building up a new world. Let's sing it together.
We are building up a new world. We are building up a new world. We are building up a new world. Builders must be strong. Courage, sisters, don't be weary. Courage, brothers, don't get weary. Courage, people, don't get weary. Though the way be long, rise, shine, give God the glory. Rise, shine, give God the glory. Rise, shine, give God the glory. Children of the light, we are building up a new world. We are building up a new world. We are building up a new world. Builders must be strong.